You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Of course, big day here in Berea. The Browns have signed free agent quarterback Robert Griffin. We go now to the Ohio Business Machines hotline and bring in NFL Network reporter Jeff Darlington. Jeff, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Never a dull moment with the Browns. Your initial reaction to the signing of RG3?
Well, I saw this coming just from the standpoint that I've kind of been in tune with the process. I personally hoped it was going to wind up getting done. I didn't know when that would be, but I knew that the Browns very clearly, after that workout in Cleveland, had their eyes set on him, specifically Hugh Jackson. So this was just a matter of Robert going through his due diligence, some soul searching of his own. But no doubt, this is, I cannot stress enough, this is the quarterback that Hugh Jackson wants, and this is the coach that Robert Griffin III wants. I cannot stress that enough.
I like that, and I'm guessing that's building off this tweet of yours. RG3 had a trip to Cleveland that inspired him and Hugh Jackson to a level that should make any Browns fan thrilled with this marriage. Can you elaborate on that for us and give us the nitty-gritty?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, let me put this disclaimer out there. I understand how many Browns fans are literally listening to me talk, rolling their eyes. I get that. I mean, but I just... I don't know, when you hear about a meeting like this, when you hear about two people who meet and both leave with the level of inspiration that these guys did, it makes you feel like it's different. And that was not just in the meeting room, but on the field. I can tell you from discussions that I've had with people who've heard all about this workout, it was freakishly good. The Browns saw the player from 2012. That includes Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson saw a guy that quite frankly excited him. I can talk all day about this and exhaust Browns fans. It's going to be a matter of whether he goes out on the field and he does it. And both of these people recognize it. They know the work that's going to have to go into it. You're not going to hear them say this, but I am telling you both of them are very excited about this potential.
And Jeff, walk us through just the time period. Obviously, his workout was reported, the end of last week, Friday, Saturday. You talked about, RG3 stepping back and really, looking inside himself. Was he open to other opportunities, if there were other opportunities, or was it just a matter of the owners' meetings, crunching the numbers between the Browns and Robert Griffin's representation?
No, I would say that that Robert was honestly being steered in other directions. Not to the point where they were hating on the Browns. By no means that was the case. But for the past several weeks, really, Robert has heard from people really kind of pushing him in that direction of the 49ers. If that Kaepernick trade got done, people believed that was going to be the best fit for him. And I don't know this. This is seriously me speculating on it. But I would guess that before that visit with the Cleveland Browns, I would say that Griffin probably felt the same way. He doesn't have any experience with Hugh Jackson. He doesn't know him. And that's who sold him on this. This is very much about a relationship between a head coach who's very well known for what he can do for quarterbacks and a player who we've seen such potential in and such squandered potential over the past several years. So, quite frankly, I think that Griffin left that meeting. I can't overstate it enough. I think that it changed things. It changed things for both sides.
And Jeff, just to continue to expound on that, do you think that, Hugh Jackson and I guess the Cleveland Browns finding the right guy for the opportunity at the right time when they were at the lowest of lows, you've already made mention that in some cases the quarterback position is laughable for the Cleveland Browns, but do you think that Hugh Jackson and his ability to relate to players, i.e. a quarterback, the way he did with RG3, that with winning, that Hugh Jackson will bring free agents and have Cleveland be a place to play in years to come?
Winning does that, right? I mean, let's be honest. We can't sit here and say that this is going to change everything. But it's not as if you're talking about – look at what just happened in free agency with Alex Mack ultimately leaving, losing a number of different guys. And that is because of the culture that exists in Cleveland, that existed before Hugh, and quite frankly, currently exists. It's not as if Hugh Jackson overnight changes the culture. That's going to take a lot of time. And, you know, I think people close to Hugh and people who have coached with him, and they see someone who's got the potential to be able to do that. Hugh Jackson chose the Cleveland Browns. I mean, he had other options, right? He didn't ultimately right. end up even going to visit the New York Giants, despite the fact that they had a heavy interest in him. So, you know, he chose this situation, knowing that if he fails there, you know, his chances as a head coach in the NFL are pretty squandered itself. So I think that he believes in what he can do there, and if ultimately that occurs, then, yeah, of course, any successful team is going to have a much easier chance of bringing in the high-profile free agents.
Talk with Jeff Darlington, NFL Network national reporter. Jeff, a lot of people are looked at numbers are coming out about this deal. Doesn't seem like a high risk at all in terms of a financial investment for the Browns here on this two-year deal with RG3. So do you see this as kind of a low-risk, potentially high-reward deal for the Browns?
Yes, I do. I mean, but that's the reality of Robert Griffin III's situation as well. You know, this is one of those deals where we can look at the numbers all day and try to, you know, I see people already trying to, like, say, well, it's 2 years, $15 million, so that means that he's kind of the backup, kind of the start, like, you know, trying to decide where he stands on the depth chart as a result of the finances. But let's be honest, Griffin has his, you know, has his past in terms of the criticism that he's taken publicly as a result of what happened under, ultimately, at the end of Mike Shanahan's career and what happened with Jay Gruden. That's going to knock your value down a little bit. So he does know that. I can tell you that, too. Like, this is a guy who has been humble. He was playing scout team safety this last year in Washington. So, you know, when we look at the numbers of that deal, I think that there's no reason to make too much out of him. This is all going to be about Griffin getting on the field and trying to prove himself. And if it doesn't work, no. It's not going to hurt the Browns in terms of their salary cap. It's really just it really can do nothing but help them.
And Jeff, last question for me is just looking inside a lot of the drama that was created there in Washington with what type of player RG3 was in the locker room and to his other teammates, with this humbling process and his ability to restart his career and jumpstart his career here and the leadership that he will receive from Hugh Jackson, do you believe that any of that will be an issue moving forward here in Cleveland?
I mean, I cannot guarantee that by any means, but I can tell you that Hugh Jackson took a very different type of person than Andy Dalton and turned him into a much better leader in ways behind the scenes that it would take an entire another segment to get into. But like, he helped Dalton reach his leadership potential in Cincinnati, and I think that he is very capable. He's going to send him out to Tom House in California. Guy who's worked with Tom Brady, Drew Brees, understands the psychological aspects of the quarterback position. I think that he understands what needs to happen here with Robert. But I'll say this about Griffin, too. He gets it, too. I would not anticipate seeing Griffin on social media very much, if at all, in the coming months. I think he realizes that certain things behind the scenes that he never meant to hurt his career did. You can talk to a lot of people who like him as a teammate, but there's a lot of things that maybe he did from a marketing standpoint, from a publicity standpoint, that bothered people. I think he realizes that, and I think Jackson is a great guy to anything lingering that might still be in Griffin's head regarding that. I think Jackson will be the perfect guy to use his maybe militant, friendly, fatherly style to steer him in the right direction.
Jeff, a lot of Browns fans are like, we just had this circus with Johnny Manziel. Why would we bring in another circus with RG3?
Yeah.
Is that the right sentiment, or do you think that the circus has left town and won't be back?
I'm not from Cleveland. I would never dare try to empathize or suggest the way Browns fans should feel. Like, I get it that they're going to feel that way, and that's understandable. It's reasonable. But also, I mean, I'll also say this, like, making a comparison between Johnny Manziel and Robert Griffin III makes sense, if only because there are a couple of Heisman winners from Texas. But the issues that maybe inspire a little bit of drama from time to time, but the issues around both are, I mean, it's apples and oranges. It's not – Griffin works incredibly hard. He is diligent off the field. You will never read about Griffin getting arrested in a club or anything like that. by any means, it's just not the same story.
Jeff, what does this mean for Josh McCown?
I would certainly think that he is now squarely on the trade block. I don't know, honestly, but I don't see them carrying three quarterbacks in anticipation that they will wind up drafting a quarterback at second overall. We'll see what Jackson ultimately decides. Obviously, that's Sashi Brown's choice, make no mistake. As it pertains to the quarterback, generally, though, this is going to be Jackson's call. I could still see them drafting a quarterback at two. That's what would make, you know, McCown obviously expendable. But I truly do anticipate that the Browns are going into this situation that they'd like to see Griffin be their week one starter, develop that second overall pick if it's a quarterback, and then ultimately make a decision. Best case scenario, this is, again, people are going to laugh, Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees. Worst case scenario, you get one quarterback out of the two and you're happy. You know, I think that worst case scenario, they're both tank, I guess. But you guys get the point.
Right. We know we got worst case scenario covered, Jeff. We've already explored that many different ways.
And just expounding on that question, I guess, what type of asset would you essentially get in return for a trade for Josh McCown, because there's the Jets and the Broncos potentially out there? And then lastly, Second half is, would you expect it to happen before April 4th, which is when the Cleveland Browns would report and start their offseason workouts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even want to pretend to know the financials. It's all about when he's got to get paid, when that guaranteed money is in effect for McCown. But, yeah, certainly, I mean, he's the kind of guy that he almost reminds me a little bit of that Ryan Fitzpatrick type who can come in the right situation, help a team out. But, I mean, I know his contract was pretty big coming out of the Bucs situation. So, you know, I think that it would require potentially some renegotiation, but I honestly don't know the financials enough to really be an expert on that one.
Jeff, certainly appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us on what I think is an interesting day. I think, and you alluded to it in your last answer.
Interesting is a good word.
Yeah, it certainly is. But you alluded to it. You don't think this changes the Browns' plans for the draft whatsoever?
Not,
if it was always a draft quarterback at two, they do it.
Absolutely not. I, if anything, this changes their plans for the week one starter, but it does not change their plans on day one of the draft.
Jeff Darlington, NFL Network national reporter with us. Thanks so much for the time, and I'm sure you've got a lot of media lined up today as it's another newsworthy day. The NFL finds a way, finds a way every
always.
Single day. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate having me on.
All right, you can follow him on Twitter, at Jeff Darlington, by the way, for the very latest on the National Football League. All right, when we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Or if RG3 begins his talk with the media, we will go to that as soon as we can.
So what they really have to figure out, guys, is do we love a quarterback at two, or are we willing to wait until the early second round because we can love a guy there? And because you don't know what RG3 is going to become. We have no idea. They have no idea. So throw that out of the equation. And then you think about the division. You're with Roethlisberger, Flacco, and Dalton. You are a distant four. We can't even see you start down in the basement there, okay? You're able to be way beyond that. So you got to get and close that gap or equal what you have in that division, and the quarterback's going to do that is going to be one of these rookies, not necessarily RG3.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Well, welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. We're going to go to the phone lines, and we hope to be joined by the newest member of the Cleveland Browns, Robert Griffin III, in just a few minutes. Let's go now to Dino the Trucker. Dino.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm happy as heck, man. I am happy as God believes. We got a quarterback that's pretty much established. He's going to be, I think the guy went under, I'm going to call it the Huberine, man, because he pulled it out.
Yes, he did, Dino.
He did. He really did. He got himself a good name. And I really have a lot of confidence that he can turn this kid around. I really believe that. I just think that Robert Griffin was thrown to the wolves too early in his career. And I don't think he was coached properly. I really don't. I think he's going to be a pleasant surprise for this club. And I hope they just stick to their guns and just get that quarterback in that first round. I just hope they do it. You know, and that's what I'm, you know, either God for once, whatever they want. They got to get another quarterback for the future.
Absolutely. Thanks, Dino. Let's go to Bill in Akron now. Bill, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. Given RG3's medical history, no offensive line, no running game, and no receivers to stretch the defense. I wonder if a lifetime prepaid lease on a motorized wheelchair was part of the RG3 deal.
I see what you did there.
One of the reasons for Manziel's bizarre behavior is I think he was desperate to get out of here because he spent the last games running for his life. They said, well, he
hold on, wait a second. But everybody was saying that we just lost the greatest offensive line in the history of the league. How is that possible that he was running for his life behind that line?
Well, now it's worse.
Oh. Okay. Was that it? Was it the motorized wheelchair joke? Was that the whole
bit? No.
Was that it? All right, it was a good one. I'll give it a 6.2.
Look at it. He was running for his life. I mean, no offensive line, no game stretching receivers.
Totally different coaching staff, and potentially Josh Gordon will be back, and we'll see what happens after the draft. But again, this is a totally different system, situation, and everything for these quarterbacks.
Okay, so they can think themselves through the lack of personnel.
All right, Mark and Berea, thank you. Welcome to the show.
Hey guys, thanks for taking the call. I'm doing great. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, real quick, man. I think Mel Kiper was on to something when he mentioned the fact that the other quarterbacks in our division are bigger in stature. They seem to just have, I guess, what I'll call a bigger NFL body type than a guy like RG3. And with all due respect to him, I think he has a great upside. There's some potential still to be had with RG3, but I don't think he's a good fit for what I will call the lack of an identity on our team as far as the Browns are concerned. And then you, my mind is going all over the place with this and some of the things I want to say to you, but I'll start here and say that one thing that Howie Newsom understood when he went to Baltimore and became the GM of the old Browns was that in order to win, to get to the tournament, you got to draft to beat Pittsburgh. And now since Baltimore has figured out how to draft to beat Pittsburgh, and they've got two trophies in their case, we need to figure out how to draft to beat Pittsburgh and Baltimore and Cincinnati, who really figured out how to beat Pittsburgh. And with all that being said, I love the pick of Hugh Jackson. I think the thing with RG3 is really a good thing because it's done something to kind of ignite the franchise, change the landscape here, so to speak. But I don't think it did anything to address the identity in which the Cleveland Browns must possess year in and year out through the draft to once again beat Pittsburgh and Baltimore and Cincinnati, get those six games, at least compete strongly in those six games, and then have a chance to get into the tournament. I'll get off and let you guys talk about it. Appreciate you again. Thanks for taking the call.
Appreciate that, Mark. And yes, the size thing to me is a little overblown. I think that this division has moved. It's not a smash-mouth division anymore. You have teams that spread the ball out and throw it around the yard. Look at Andy Dalton, 6'2", 215, 220, not a big guy, and he was incredibly successful in this division. They've been to the playoffs five straight times.
Yeah, and just look at Joe Flacco in the year he had this year. Okay, behind a very good offensive line, Forsett had a down year, and they were okay at wide receiver, struggled without Steve Smith, once he got hurt. Joe Flacco couldn't, and I think a lot of the reason why they struggled is Flacco didn't have the weapons or the protection to go where he wanted to with the football when he wanted to go with the football.
Yep.
Because, their defense was good, wasn't great, the usual Ravens. But I thought, he took a step backwards because everyone around him wasn't playing their best football.
Correct.
So physicality was not an issue. It was, I'm under duress, as big and tall and as strong as an arm as I have, because my weapons aren't winning. And the protection just naturally breaks down, regardless of whether you have four first-rounders or an accumulation of undrafted free agents a la Tom Brady.
Yes. This offense, it's funny, though, how when the guys leave from this offensive line, it was the greatest offensive line, and then people also call up and say how everybody was running for their lives and getting killed last year. How can they all be true? The only one that was true is the second one. Because they were running for their lives and they were getting killed last year. And we know that. 216-578-0850. Tim in Strongsville. Tim, welcome.
Hey, Nathan. I do not envy you your job with that one guy with the wheelchair. That's just horrible.
I just wanted to know if that was his, if that was what it all was, if that's what it was about.
He reminds me of some reporters we have working for the plane dealer, too. Everything the Browns do is just terrible and horrible no matter what they do. They all just got to leave and go somewhere, I think. My main reason for calling you was I just have a very simple question. What is Hugh Jackson's mantra? You know, Pettine had a mantra last year, which was stupid, was play like a Brown. We all heard that from him, which
yes.
is kind of dumb. What is Hugh Jackson's? Because I haven't heard, I've read everything I can get on Hugh Jackson.
I believe it's we're going to chase greatness.
Just chase, that's his main.
I don't know if that's the main mantra, but that is the one thing that he has said quite a bit.
Win football games.
Yes, hopefully that's the mantra. Yeah.
That's the mantra. Well, thank you guys very much. Have a good day.
You got it.
All right, thank you very much. Let's go now to Robert in Olmsted Falls. Robert, welcome.
I am so excited, guys. I have 4 club season tickets, and I was so close to giving them away this year. I cannot sit through another game of Josh McCown, whether he was the problem or not. It was just so boring.
He was not, by the way. But yes,
I understand it's just boring play. And at least even if Griffin goes out there and stinks up the joint, at least we have something to look forward to. There's the hope that he's going to break one away. I mean, we had no playmakers last year. We really didn't. That dude that went to San Diego, I don't really see him as a big-time playmaker. Griffin is a playmaker, and at least we have the hope when we're sitting at those games that he can break one out or, you know, do something fantastic. And that's probably why, you know, the Clucks of Cleveland put up with one of the biggest embarrassments of all time in Johnny Manziel. And so I am very excited. High five to the Browns because everybody's, you know, complaining. And I think everybody understands you have to blow this thing up. But, you know, they complain that it's not a fan-friendly type of team and it hasn't been for a long time. This is, to me, a fan-friendly move because there's the hope now when he's out there scrambling around that something can happen and it's worth, you know, watching versus I just think we'd all be banging our heads against the seats if our valued gem of a rookie quarterback that we have has to go in and start and, you know, is just getting beat up all the time and in a rebuild with not, at least as far as I can see, no playmakers unless we can get Gordon to come back. And that's only if Gordon has been able to shed his homies so he's not going to be suspended again. I just think this is a great move, and I'm very excited.
Again, low risk, I believe, high reward here with RG3 coming in to the Browns. Let's go to Phil in Brecksville now. Phil, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt, Nathan. You know, it's funny, Matt, just on a side line, you mentioned Dallas. If I were the 49ers, I would be worried. I don't care what Jerry Jones says. If we take Goff and Wentz is there, he's not getting to the 49ers. After last year, I can't believe in how fragile Tony Romo is. That quarterback's not getting passed, but that's just my opinion. Look, you know, we've just not been lucky over the years, and for the first time ever, it seems like some luck is coming to us. You can't tell me why for 3 or 4 owners, for 5 regime changes, 4 general managers, we have not been able to draft. No one can say, you just have to throw up your arms and say, I don't know, this is bad luck, this is bad karma. But for the first time, you know, we got a coach that wanted to come here, and he bonded with a player that is a star, and they wanted to come here. And you know what? It just seems like for once in the last 25 years, it seems like luck is on our side, and I'm just going to sit down and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, again, I think low risk, high potential reward. You've got he wants to be here with Hugh. Hugh wants him here. Let's see what they can do. And, again, all accounts are it's not going to change anything as it relates to what the Browns plan to do in the draft. So I say A+. What's the worst thing that can happen? It doesn't work out? Well, we've been there for a long, long time. 216-578-0850 here on Cleveland Browns Daily. We hope to have RG3, the newest member of the Cleveland Browns, with you very soon on ESPN Cleveland.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And we are very happy to welcome the newest member of the Cleveland Browns here onto the show and to Cleveland and to the Dog Pound, Robert Griffin III. Welcome to the program and welcome to the Browns.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing? I'm excited.
We are certainly excited as well. We've talked to some people who have talked about the great meeting that you had with Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton when you came up here and had that workout. What happened that made you say, hey, Cleveland is where I want to be?
Oh, man, just the conversation I had with Coach Hugh and Pep, and I just really believe in what they're preaching, man, and you know, I'm excited about it. You know, they got great plans in store. They believe in the city of Cleveland and in the roster, so they're going to bring the right people to make this thing work, and I just wanted to be a part of that.
It had to be also, you know, the new regime change, not only in Hugh Jackson, but, you know, Sashi Brown's, you know, open-mindedness to see value in you after what happened in Washington, to bring you in, to give you a new start, and obviously pay you the way that they did to deserve to be paid as a starter here potentially in Cleveland as well.
Yeah, you know, I'm really, really thankful for that. After what happened last year and not playing football for an entire year, just really appreciative of the Browns of stepping up and giving me an opportunity. That's all you need in this life is an opportunity to do something great. And that's what they're looking forward to doing. I'm looking forward to being a part of that with them. And we know we got a lot of work to do, but we're all ready to go. Like Coach said, he's got his sleeves rolled up.
Yes, he does, and I know you will. You said earlier today you've never been afraid to work hard. What do you think is the one thing you need to work on the most to be successful here as a quarterback with Hugh Jackson and the Cleveland Browns?
Oh, you know, it's just to continue to master the elements of being a quarterback in the NFL and what they're asking you to do. And I feel like I've got a great feel for that after being in the league for 4 years. You know, another thing is just relying on the guys around you. You know, I look forward to talking to some of my new teammates here in the next couple hours, just on the phone to see what they feel like the team needs and what direction and what they want to change. So I just look forward to doing that, growing with the team, leaning on the guys around me, and just allow everybody's talents to be shown.
When you look at Hugh Jackson's offenses in the past, one thing that is clear, he wants the quarterback to get the ball out fast, under 2.5 seconds on the vast majority of the pass plays. Andy Dalton last year was about 2.2 seconds to throw. That's not something that has typically been the hallmark of your game. Do you feel like that is going to be an adjustment for you? And do you think that maybe even last year, getting to watch and just get all those mental reps has prepared you to come in and be able to be more successful just straight from the pocket?
Yeah, I think so. I think last year really did help being able to watch, and it was more than just the mental reps. It was continuing to improve my game every day after practice for an hour for 17 straight weeks outside of the bye week because I, you know, went somewhere nice with my wife. But, you know, be able to do that and really just grow as a player, all those things help. You know, I've been a part of a play-action game when I was first in Washington. I've also been a part of a spread-it-out-and-throw-it-around game in my last couple of years there. So it really just depends on what they want to do. But I'm excited, really excited, and ready for either one. Linemen love it when you get the ball out quick, so I'll definitely make sure that's something that we do if that's the route that coach wants to go.
Absolutely. Keeps you from getting beaten on too much back there when you get the ball out quickly. When you were in Washington, yeah. Jay Gruden and Hugh Jackson were together in Cincinnati. Is there any familiarity through that you think you'll have already with the Hugh Jackson system?
Oh, no. I'm just, you know, when I looked at this opportunity to play for Coach Hugh, it was completely separate from any other relationships that he had with anyone else. Will there be familiarity with the system? I'm pretty sure there will be, but that'll only help me get on the ground and hit the ground running when I get there on April 4th. But it's really wasn't about that. It was more about what he believes and how much belief he has in this team. And to have a coach that believes in you is a great thing. You guys can hear my 10-month-old baby.
I like it.
Right.
Fired up.
She wants to talk to you guys, too.
Yeah, she's fired
good,
up.
Good, good.
Well, Robert, you've talked about, you know, relationships. You've talked about connecting with your teammates. A very well-known teammate has also donned the Cleveland Browns uniform. Of course, his reinstatement is being awaited by, hopefully, coming very soon by the National Football League. Just talk about your relationship with Josh Gordon and the amount of, you know, relationship you've maintained over the course of both of your NFL careers.
Yeah, you know, anyone that knows anything about Baylor, we are family. And that's one thing that we hold close to our hearts is that we're going to be there for you no matter what happens or what you go through. So, you know, Josh is family to me. You know, I've been able to keep up with him over the years and you know, just try to be a guiding light and a brother to him. So If I get that opportunity to play with him and he gets reinstated and he's in Cleveland, then, you know, I'm really excited about that opportunity. But at this point, you know, he's got his business he's got to take care of, and I'm there for him no matter what. So we'll see what happens. But Josh is he's a great kid, and I really look forward to seeing him turn everything around.
Speaking of your time at Baylor, you came into the league second overall pick in the draft. What is the biggest difference in that RG3 who came into the league as a, both a quarterback and a person, was the Rookie of the Year, took the Redskins to the playoffs, and the RG3 that will be joining the Cleveland Browns now 4 years later?
Well, I mean, the biggest difference is that I've got 4 years of NFL experience under my belt, and I just understand how teams approach the game, how coaches approach the quarterback position, and just knowing what they want, and then to be able to put that in with the kid that we all have in us, man. You know, a player that I think very highly of, Kedrick Golson, said, we play a kid's game for a king's ransom. And you can never take the fun out of the game. Once you do that, it just becomes work. So you got to have fun. That fun is still there, and I'm just real excited, man. Just real excited to get an opportunity to play this beautiful game once again.
Robert, last one for me before we let you go, and we appreciate your time. You know you've been on the conference call as well, but we've got the Dog Pound not only listening here in Northeast Ohio, but you know via podcast all over the United States and even throughout the world as we get calls from all over the globe. What's the one message that you could give to the Dog Pound who is listening right now and their expectations of you as a player here in Cleveland?
Well, I mean, you know, I was a dog once in high school with a Cobbers Cove Bulldog, so I'm no stranger to the Dog Pound. But I love the opportunity to come to a city that has been yearning for a winner for so long and help build something great. So that's the focus for me. I know Coach Jackson has the same focus, and all the players on the team want to win. So all we can tell them is that we're never going to be afraid to work. You know, hard work is something that I believe pays off, and you're going to have a winner in no time. But at the same time, we just know we got a lot of work to do. There's no guarantees in this business or in life. So every day that we're at that facility, we're going to be working hard to make them a winner.
And you certainly know that. What you went through last year, I have to imagine, was incredibly tough for you personally and professionally, and yet you did it without rocking the boat. You basically conducted yourself like a class act the whole way through. The Browns have certainly dealt with the distraction of the quarterback position. Do you feel coming in here, you know, you've got with the accolades, et cetera, there could be another quarterback drafted. How can you make sure that you're just going to stay focused and you know, not be a distraction? You proved it last year, but people still want to kind of drum up that narrative.
Yeah, you know. Those are the things that you can't control is what narrative people are going to try to pick up. You know, last year was a tough year for me, but I was there for my teammates, and I made sure that everyone knew that I was on board to do whatever it took to help the Washington Redskins win football games. So when it comes to coming to Cleveland, there's one goal in mind, and that's to win, to come out and compete. And whatever happens outside of my control, there's nothing I can do about that. So draft a quarterback. I'll bring the young guy in under my wing, and we'll grow together and do whatever it takes to help this team win. So I'm not afraid of those things. I know how hard all those guys in that locker room work because we're all professionals and we take this seriously. So I'm just excited about the opportunity and not worried about anybody else's storyline.
Robert, thank you so much for the time. Welcome to the Browns. Welcome to Cleveland. Welcome to the Dog Pound. And I'm excited for you to get the opportunity that I know you certainly believe that you deserve to once again show what you can do as a starting quarterback here in the National Football League.
Hey, man, I appreciate you guys. I'm excited about it. I'll see y'all soon.
Yes, sir.
All right, yes, we will. April the 4th, he'll be in the building when the Browns return to action. Newest member of the Browns, Robert Griffin III. Former Heisman Trophy winner, NFL Rookie of the Year, now a Cleveland Brown, and we will see what he can do. He's excited to work with Hugh Jackson, excited with Pep Hamilton, and this is the kind of situation where you got to see. He wants the coach wants him. We heard it from Jeff Darlington. He's a quarterback who's played at a high level. You've got the coach that gets the best out of quarterbacks. Low risk, high reward. Excited to have Robert Griffin III on board here with the Cleveland Browns. All right, we're going to take a break when we come back. Your phone calls, final thoughts as well. We got to hear from Gibbs. He's battled injury. He's back. Plus, Sir Andrew Gribble live in studio to give his reaction going forward on RG3.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Oh, welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm. We're joined in studio by Sir Andrew Gribble on RG3 Day here on CBD. Gribbs, your reaction?
You know, I've done some digging around, talking to people even in Washington about this, and I think the big thing that comes up time and time again is how good of a pairing that Hugh Jackson and Robert Griffin III will be. And I think that because of that, you need a guy that's going to be on top of Robert Griffin III and kind of leading him in the direction that you want your offense to go. So based on hearing that from other people outside the building and then what we've heard from both Hugh Jackson and his comments, and then, of course, with what Robert said over the last 30 minutes just about how they met, they really kind of connected and they believed in what each other's doing. I think that's a very good pairing.
I think it's
essential, and this is another thing I've heard. It's good that if you want him in the situation where he comes in and wins and earns the job, because I think he's been humbled to that point where you want him to come in and kind of have that edge to him that maybe when you're drafted number two and you're kind of just placed in that spot, you know, you're the quarterback, and then where Washington didn't really have any great options until recently with Kirk Cousins, where he was kind of holding that spot by default. You want him to come in and kind of beat out these other guys who are going to be similarly hungry, whether it's Austin Davis or a quarterback that you draft early. You know, there's other guys. I mean, you got other guys in that room. You got guys that you want him to kind of establish himself as that guy, especially if you're bringing in a quarterback early in the draft, which many expect the Browns to still do after this move. And I think we're all in agreement that this signing, especially when you're seeing the numbers that are coming out, probably does not affect the Browns' draft strategy going into this at all.
And I like the fact that he came out and took those questions head on, said, I'll bring whoever, if they draft a guy at number two, I'll take him under my wing. And by the way, he is uniquely positioned to let a number two pick know about the highs and the lows of your time in the National Football League, because at one point, RG3 was the it guy. He was the golden child of the NFL, and 4 years later, he's here with the Browns on basically a one-year prove-it deal.
And you got to imagine the questions that he got about, are you going to be okay with a quarterback being drafted in the first round? That wasn't the first time he's been asked that in the last week. You know that, as Hugh said, some tough questions were asked during those 2 days that they were together, and some tough answers had to be given. So clearly you would think that would be one of them, because as much as the Browns have been linked to quarterbacks, as much legwork as the Browns are putting in, being very involved with these quarterback workouts as compared to what we saw a couple years ago with how pro days were handled, you know, the Browns are as out there about these young quarterbacks as any team in the NFL is right now. So it's clearly something that he's aware of, and it's going to have to drive him. He's got to have to come in here, not only in these offseason workouts, but then if that quarterback comes in June and July, you've got to have that edge and know that you still have this talent. And I don't think his confidence has been rattled, I'll say that, but I think he's been humbled by the experience, but I still think he's confident that he can be a great quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, what I'm enamored with is the fixation between Hugh Jackson and Robert Griffin III, and Robert Griffin III and Hugh Jackson and Pep Hamilton. You know, and I hate to say match made in heaven, but I just feel like RG3 took the time to look at himself, as you said, representation. Jeff Darlington said, representation was probably steering him in another direction, but it was the bond that was created in that meeting, you know, between the men, you know, that ultimately got this deal done, that brought RG3 here, that he's up for the challenge, that he is, you know, I guess, rehabilitated from what he's been through for 4 years, the good, bad, and indifferent in Washington. And truly, and this is why I feel it's a can't miss, you know, low risk, high reward, is because he has a blank slate. You know, the expectations for him may be to be the day one starter, but may not be, depending on what we do at number two, what we do with Josh McCown, and so on and so forth. So it's just accumulating talent. And for him, you know, even in a statement, compete, compete, compete. How many times have we heard him say compete in the last hour and a half since it's kind of come out that he's been a Cleveland Brown?
And I think that the thing Hugh has made clear is he's not going to force a system on a quarterback. They're going to try to build and work around the strengths. And I don't think that necessarily means you're going to see this team go to a zone read or try to make him a mobile quarterback. I think that 4 years in the league, I think he still has some work to do with being in the pocket. But I also think that's been enough time to maybe get the Baylor offense out of his head. I think that is what I think hurt him a little bit after that first year in Washington, when all of a sudden they put on, they try to get a pro style offense after they built that offense around him that first year. I think that, and then obviously Jay Gruden comes in, he needs to win now. He goes with the guy that's going to run his system the right way. It's going to be interesting to see first what kind of shape he is in after not playing an entire season. I think that's significant when you look at him, and it's I think the key with him, the big question mark, is going to be staying healthy. I mean, we all know the numbers. Tim Couch is the only quarterback to make it all 16 games through a season in Cleveland since 99. So it's, you want to try to keep him healthy. You're going to have some new pieces on the offensive line. That's going to be key with him, because he's had the injuries in the past, but I think he's at a spot where you would think he is as 100% as he's been in a long time.
I can tell you from somebody who had firsthand knowledge of his work out here that he athletically blew people away, that he is –
it's never been a question.
Unbelievable shape, and is unbelievably athletic, and is 100% healthy. That has been a trouble for him. It's been tough for him to be healthy. I believe that, you know, he will be healthy, and we'll see what he can do, you know, as the quarterback here. Now, Josh McCown, what does this mean for Josh McCown?
Well, you got to think, I mean, we've seen the reports out there that you would think that you can maybe, I think Josh McCown still has value out there if you're looking at that.
Of course,
right?
He does.
So I think,
fine,
I mean, he's as we all know, we got to know him this past year.
Love him.
Incredible guy. I think he's a big impact in the room, but you look at where the money goes, and we'll see what happens. Will it happen before offseason workouts? We don't know, but we'll see going forward.
And I think the money's dried up for Ryan Fitzpatrick in the marketplace that he was at and the numbers that he was asking. So Josh McCown via trade might actually be more attractive than signing a Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, a guy just, you know, slightly younger, kind of the same makeup, but significantly less of a financial contract, I would imagine.
Well, and the thing that I would ask Browns fans when you're looking at this and, oh, this is, you know, this scares me, or the negative or the risk, et cetera. When you look at Josh McCown this year for the Browns and what he was due to make for this team at quarterback, basically it's about just a little over $5 million, almost $6 million. Prorated bonus, a $666,000, 4.3 salary, and about $750 and something else, okay? So we're calling it about $6 million. Robert Griffin III is going to make $7.5 million this year. So if you do end up moving Josh McCown, you're basically spending $1.5 million a year more to take a flyer on a former number two overall pick, former rookie of the year, at 26 years of age,
right,
10 years the junior of Josh McCown, with really no risk into the next year, be it just a little bit over $1 million in dead money if you decide to cut him after 1 year. To me, that's why this is so smart.
Yeah.
And there isn't risk, and there is potential reward.
And even if you don't move him, I don't know if there's one quarterback that would better handle the situation than McCown if he's still here.
He's the best.
Yeah, I mean, I think he clearly showed that last year amid all the stuff with Johnny that was going on. I think if he is here, he'd be a great influence on these guys from just kind of how you approach the game, and even you bring in a young quarterback. I think he would handle himself well. Like I said, you can't say enough good things about that guy.
And you know what's interesting for the Browns, coming from the year where Hoyer was here and Johnny was a rookie, you had basically Hoyer fighting for his life. So then all of a sudden the mentorship angle got really propped up with Josh McCown. And we know how that, at the end of the day, you need talent and you need guys who are going to be self-motivated. A mentor, you got to get your mentorship from your coaches and have it on yourself to go out there and work and get it done. Obviously a newsworthy day. We'll hear more about Carson Wentz's pro day tomorrow. We'll continue the discussion, I'm sure, to wrap up the week on what you all think of RG3. Sir Andrew Gribble and Patrick have you covered at ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app with things you need to know about RG3, plus the full statements from Sashi Brown, Hugh Jackson, and Robert Griffin III on his move here to the Cleveland Browns. We want to thank Jeff Darlington. Thanks, Sir Andrew. Thank Gibbs. Thank all of you. For Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.